If you brought your Bibles, turn in the book of Numbers. So we're not gonna follow through with Jeremiah. Tomorrow I'm gonna talk about the title is the talking donkey. Are you guys familiar with that? The only the animal in the Bible that talked is found in Numbers chapter 22. So we've got, you know, there's three chapters here, and there's no way you're gonna be able to blow through all three chapters of that. So we're going to surfacely kind of go through this. So as we get into this, I did want to mention something as how crazy, you know, I know Kevin and even Dustin touches on kind of like the prophecy stuff of what's going on around the world and stuff. Stuff's just still crazy. We're having issues still. You know, we know that the time is getting closer. So don't take your eyes off the Lord, because our time of getting out of this place is soon. And I said, yeah, you've been saying that a long, long time. I know, and we're going to keep saying it because it is true. It's very true. If you guys can't feel it, you can't feel the Holy Spirit tell you that we're getting close, prepare. Don't stop living. We still have to live, and we still have to tell the gospel to people. You know, we don't want to just say, okay, I'm just going to bury my head and wait for Jesus to take me home. That's not what he said. He said, live, occupy, live, and tell others about me. Because we have the truth, and we want to tell others. We want to have as many to go to heaven as possible. But also we want to be looking for our blessed hope, because he tells us in Scripture, look for our blessed hope. And our blessed hope is Jesus coming back, taking us out of this world. But I did want to say one thing that I found. This happened a couple weeks ago, and maybe some of you guys read about it. You know, the crazy stuff, you keep thinking that, can it get any worse? You know, of all the terrible stuff that's going on, the evil. Yeah, it can, and it still does, and it keeps amazing me. And I've been in law enforcement for over 35 years, and I see stuff, and it's like incredible, incredible. There was a trooper that got shot here a few days ago. I don't know if you guys heard about it. He got shot 9 times in Kent, and he was trying to stop a car for possible DUI. So the car, legitimate, it was a legitimate stop. He had a violation, he was stopping the car. The guy took off, and you guys know in the state of Washington, we have this no pursuit law. You know, it's basically you can't do anything. You just let them go. Unless it falls under certain criteria. Well, it did kind of meet some criteria. And the trooper chased after this guy, and the guy stopped in some apartment complex, took off and went on foot. The trooper chased him on foot, and then the guy pulled a gun out and shot him several times. Trooper, I don't believe, ever returned fire. He went down. But they ended up catching this guy. So the next day in court, the judge was going to release this guy. He found in the initial report, because you have to file an initial report, which is a probable cause statement in order to hold somebody, when you arrest them, to hold them. So, and within that, you have to have probable cause, which is merit for arrest. Otherwise, they release you. And they had that. But the judge, reading in the prelim report, he didn't find that there was merit for probable cause. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Even the prosecutor's office in King County, as liberal as they are, they did stick up and say, no, there's probable cause. Now, they were waiting. This was Monday. They were waiting for Tuesday to get the entire case file. I was a detective for 12 years. You can't put something like that together overnight. You can, but it takes great effort. And it takes a lot of people doing different jobs. One detective can't do the whole thing. Well, they put a whole team on this. Just because it's a trooper that got shot 9 times. If it was a citizen that got shot, they're still going to do the same thing. So they put together a major case to the prosecutor's office, and they filed charges on Tuesday. How they kept this guy in custody on Monday was because he had a felony warrant. He had a no bail warrant. He had been in custody he had 9 felonies. He just got released last November, and here he is doing what he's doing again. And this judge was going to release this guy. Unbelievable. That you can't do that. That is against the law of what the judge was saying. Who's gonna hold this judge accountable? Who do you got? There's no one. I can do what he wants. The justice system's broke. But that's just one weird thing that happened this last week. But this happened two weeks ago. It was Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you guys might have read this one. This was a church out of Ohio. This was a major mega church. It's an evangelical church. So it's like they are sort of on the same page as we are. They aren't completely to the far left. But it's a major church with several thousands of congregants. And on Sunday morning, the pastor's sermon Super Bowl sermon. Prior to, as he calls, we're going to kick off the sermon. And what they did was, is they used a Bible, and they put a cover of a football with like the seams of the football, and they put it on. One of the other pastors was holding it like a football on the stage, while this pastor did the old punt kick of the Bible and kicked it out into the audience. It's like, is that blasphemy or what? I was like, you know, you want to step back, because that's when the wrath of God will come down and just like crush that guy. We see it in Scripture. He's done it. And he'll even do it in modern time today. He's done it where people have died. I've even recently, I can't recall where somebody had a heart attack and just died. So God does what he needs to. But he's like, why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he just do it? He's going to. But that's stuff that's happening. And it's happening with people. I didn't hear about that. It's happening a lot. It's happening a lot around the world. So I just say all that as that's my prophecy stuff that's going on. Don't take your eyes off the Lord, because things are happening. So in chapter 22, if you guys got your Bibles, open up to chapter 22 there. I'm going to read through it for just a part of it. And I didn't bring my cheater glasses in. So here we go. Now we'll do the old trombone thing. So I may have to, John, or I might have to have somebody just read it, but. Chapter 22, verse 1, it says, then the children of Israel moved. Are you guys, everybody familiar with this story? This is where Balaam, they call it Balaam's donkey. I know, I'm not throwing anybody out here if you haven't never heard of it before. Well, it's a pretty cool story about a donkey talking. Actually, the voice of a man talking through a donkey. He's like, is that possible? Well, sure it is. It is, because it's in God's Word. So it did happen. It's not just fake, fable thing. It happened. Incredible. How many here, I know there's a lot of old timers in here. I throw myself out there because I'm getting up there. Some of you guys are much older than me. Some of you younger ones, you won't know about this unless you've seen it on reruns. There was a sitcom, a comedy sitcom in 61. It went through 1961 through 66. So 5 years. I was just a toddler, 3-4 year old toddler. But I do remember after 66, I was, I was 7 years old, so you guys can do the math when I was born. So I was able to watch the show. So I was watching it on black and white TV, and then they had some reruns after that for I don't know how long. And you can probably YouTube it and you'll see it. But the TV show here, raise your hand if you have heard of this TV show, Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed. It's the talking horse. That's what they said, Mr. Ed the talking horse. It's like, what? It's crazy. So if you guys ever Google it, you guys have never seen that, well, look it up. It's kind of cool, but... when I was a kid, I really thought that horse talked. I thought it was talk. Until you later in life, you figure out, that's all makeup, you know. But then you read about it in here, and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. So, anyway, I say that. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And that means they destroyed them. He wasn't too happy with that. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. Who they're talking about here is the king of Moab, the Moabites. And he's not sick, health sick, you know, like he's got the flu or something. He's sick because he's scared, because there are this massive amount of Israelites that are right next door to his country. And they're going to invade and destroy him too. That's what he's thinking. So he was very, 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 very scared, really scared. And you guys, we don't know the exact number, but so when they exited out of Egypt, would they have over 2 million? Or yeah, probably two million, 2 to 3 million. You know, I mean, there was a lot. I mean, we know from Scripture it says there was 600,000 men, you know, walking on foot. Didn't talk about the children or the females, the women. So you add all that up and it's gotta be 2-3 million, I don't know. But that's a massive a lot of people. So a king's looking at this massive people, he's like, yeah, we're gonna get massacred, as he goes on and says that. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick, they're gonna consume up all that is around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So he's talking about also the elders of Midian. They're side by side, country to country, the Moabites and the Midianites. So he's conferring with Midian, you know, look, this massive amount of people are going to come and consume us. So let's get together and see what we can do to stop them. So then in verse 5 it says, then he sent, that would be the king of Balak, he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt, the Israelites. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settled next to me. You know, when he's saying that, could you imagine being up on a mountain and looking at 2 to 3 million people and all of their tents and stuff? It's got to span a massive land. And when you see that and you think of how many you have, you know you're done. You know, it's like, this is not good. So he was extremely scared. In verse 6 it says, therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. He's talking about Balaam. Balaam is a prophet. He's a prophet. He's a prophet from the Lord, of the Lord, because he does. He communicates with the Lord. But he's not a prophet for Israel. So he does a lot of, obviously from this passage there, he's well known. Because the king is seeking him out. I need you to curse these people, to put them away, so I can destroy them. So this guy has done this. He's blessed. He's obviously blessed. And he's cursed. And he's been successful as a prophet. So he knows he's got these powers to do this stuff. So he's seeking him to come do this. So the elders in verse 7, so the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. What the king is doing is the higher people, like elders of the governments of these kings, are getting together and going to meet with Balaam with rewards, money, some kind of stuff to give to this guy and pay him. They want to pay for his services. So that's what this and back in that time, oops, Mike, you're not going to like that when I do that. Is it still good? Back in that time, historically, what these guys would do when they would seek out these prophets to do these kind of curses or blessings is that they pay them. It was customary to pay these people to come and do this, and that's why they're doing it. So this guy gets paid, and he's doing it for money. He's not doing it just because he wants to help out this country. No, he's doing it for money. So you're going to find out, and it's going to show in his greed here. So as we go on in there in that same verse, and they came to Balaam, and these elders, they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. So they're telling Balaam what they want. And he said to them, lodge here tonight. This is Balaam telling these elders, okay, lodge here. So let's camp out overnight. Lodge here, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princess of Moab stayed with Balaam. Now they're called princess. Okay, elders, princes, they're higher up in that government. They're not like low chain people. They're up there next to the king. So then what does Balaam do in verse 9? Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out because he can curse them. Well, what does God say? This is a critical verse right here. Verse 12. Don't miss this one. What's God saying? God said to Balaam, you shall not. Whenever you see the word shall, when I was in the, in law enforcement, our reg manual and stuff, when it says, or in the laws, when the law says shall, that means no ands or buts. There's no in between. If you got a word where you could or you should, it gave some latitude. But when it says shall, there's no latitude. You had to do it or there's consequences. So if they say, Dan, thou shalt not do this, And if Dan does do that, there's consequences. So God's telling Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. God's already blessed the Israelites. So they're off limits. You can't touch them. Don't curse them. I blessed them. So what happens then? So Balaam, some people will say, well, what kind of prophet was Balaam? What was he? Just to give you an idea, Balaam itself means, in Hebrew, it means swallowing up the people, like the destroyer of people. That's what Balaam's name means in the Hebrew language. What the kind of stuff that Balaam did, he could be also known as a sorcerer. Somebody that does that, that's like a... What's a sorcerer? The one who practices sorcery. What's sorcery? Sorcery is it uses of a supernatural power over others through the assistance of spirits. What spirits would that be? Yeah, demonic. That's not the spirits of Jesus. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. It's witchcraft. Stuff like that. That's what he's doing. Do these demonic spirits have power? They do. How do they get their power? From God. God allows them to do what they can do. But they're limited. They can't do only so much. Only when God says you can do this, you can't do this. So God does allow them to have that. So he was a prophet of God, because he did receive prophetic words from God. God spoke to him. But he was, we're going to find later in our text here in the New Testament, he's going to be referred to as a false prophet, false teacher. You know, he misled. He's misleading people. He's an evil. We'll call him an evil prophet. He was an evil prophet. So that's where Balaam is kind of is. So then in verse 13, so it says, so Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princess of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princess of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than the ones previous. So Balak has not taken no for an answer. He can't. He says, oh, okay, well, I guess that's that. We're going to get massacred. I'm going to lose my kingship. No. He's power and money is important to this guy. So he's sending a higher grade. I guess there's higher grade princes, you know, that's even higher than that. And probably with a more upped the amount of what he's going to reward this guy with. Okay, so that wasn't enough. How about this? So he's not going to take no for an answer. In verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse the people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Now watch what he says here. He's lip servicing to them and telling them, you could give me the whole, all your silver and gold, everything in the house of King Balak. You can give it all. But God told me I can't curse him. I can't do any of that. But what's he thinking here? In this next verse, he says this. This is really an important verse too. He says in verse 19, now therefore, this is Balak talking. He says, Balaam. Balaam says, now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. What happened between verse 18 and 19? Verse 18, he's telling them, look, I can't. I can't go with you. God told me I can't. I mean, you can give me everything there is. He said that, and then we don't know because it doesn't tell us here, but let's just modern time. What would, if somebody was offering me so much money to go, you know, do a hit on somebody? It's like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then they offer up, holy moly, that's wow. Now I'm thinking about it. Well, maybe there's a little hope here. So Balaam's like, All right, you guys. Hang tight. Let me go ask the Lord again. Let me see what the Lord says. Maybe he changed his mind. You know, maybe I can put a twist on it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling them. So then he goes in verse 20, he goes, and God came to Balaam. So God's coming to Balaam. Balaam is seeking God to find out, hey, you sure God, is it okay maybe just a little curse? You know, I won't do much, but can I just do a little? And he's doing it all for greed. He wants that reward. It's like he's got to try. So God came to Balaam in verse 20 at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. What's God doing? Is he changing his mind? Does God change his mind? No. God is immutable, unchangeable. He doesn't change. What's it say in Hebrews? I think it's chapter 13. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. But watch what God's doing here. Do we all have free will? We all believe in free will. We all have free will. You guys had a free choice of coming tonight. Yet you chose because you wanted to. You had X, Y, and Z why you wanted to come tonight. Or you had X, Y, and Z, you didn't want to go. You're not mandated. You're not forced to come. You know, we all have free choice of doing what we want. We have a free choice. God gives us free choice. But realize that God's divine sovereignty, God's will be done. Whether it's my will, I think it's my will that I should do this. And I'm praying to God that this is my will, that this happens. And God might let that happen. Or God might say, nope. It's all in God's will. Why? It's not to punish us. It's for our good and His glory. Always remember that. We don't see. We're on this level. We see this. God sees everything. He sees from beginning to end. He sees what we don't see. We don't know what's coming down the road. And God does. If we did see what it was, I can't ask for that because I know what's coming. So God sees what we don't see. So I like this verse because he's telling Balaam, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. He's giving a permissible will. God's permissible will. You guys ever have, you have kids, I mean kids or not kids or something, but I use the example, kids that are always, you know, nagging at you. Can I have this? I want this. I want it. And then finally he's like, here, go. I'm done. You know, you're trying to say, no, not now. No, not now. No, in a little bit. And they just nag at you until you finally is like, okay, go. I'm done. I kind of wondered if Balaam did that to God. You know, kept asking and asking and asking and asking. You guys ever think about where you ever do that to maybe God and you think, you know, He knows. He knows that God said no. He said, shall not. There's no in-betweens. Balaam knows. So why is he kind of still, we know the same thing. Don't we? Do we ever do that? We ever ask God something? We're like, okay, I know the answer to that. But I'm still asking. I'm still asking because it's for me. You know, I'm not looking at God's glory. It's like, it's good for Dan. So I'm going to, Balaam, it's good for Balaam. So he keeps asking. So God said, okay, permissive will. Okay, Dan, you want that? Go ahead. But then what does he say in this verse? This very next key word. He says, but. B-U-T. Not the backside but. It's the B-U-T. It's the exception. Consequence. You want to do it? Okay. But, yeah, your parents. When we were all little, your parents said, okay, you want to do that? This is the consequences though. But. You get the but. If you do this, but. You're like, oh, okay, well, heavy consequences. So then God says, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. Okay, Balaam, fine with that, great. So Balaam rose in the morning, his donkey, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. I'm sure he didn't wait for them to say, hey, you ready to go? I bet he was up before they were, had coffee on, did his thing, and said, let's go. Yeah, not waiting for them, because he knows what they want. They wanted to go back, and let's go. This next verse is kind of puzzling. It says, then God, in verse 22, it says, then God's anger was aroused because he went. Because Balaam went. Well, God gave him the free will to do it. He said, go ahead. Why is God getting angry? Why is he angry? Well, as you read in 22, God's anger was aroused because he did go. Yeah, I'm sure God was probably not happy because maybe he jumped and circumvented and maybe went without they asking him. But really, I think God's was really upset that he actually did it. But God does that with all of us. He allows us to make all our choices, and when we make bad choices, he's not happy. He's not happy. As a born-again believer, as a child of God, we're not kicked out of his family. Balaam was not in God's family. He was not following God. We're born-again believers, and when we mess up and make bad choices, God is not happy with us, but he doesn't, like, kick us out of his family. He will discipline us. We've all been disciplined, and sometimes that's not fun, because then you go through something that's like, oh, man, you didn't have to do that if I would have only done this. But we can't go backwards. We have to then go forward and learn from what, okay, let's not do that again. It's when we repeatedly do stuff, and I've done it. I've done it so many times. It's like, am I ever going to learn? It's like God tells me, I don't think you're ever going to learn, Dan. You know, how many times does it take? Some believers, some of us, you know, it doesn't take much. You get slapped a few times and you're like, okay, I've had enough of that one. Some of us, you know, we get hit in the head a few more times, you know, but hopefully we catch on and we will start yielding to what God wants us to do. But let's read on as it says, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way. This is our next part. So God's anger aroused because Balaam went, and the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, it's a messenger from God. Jesus took his stand in the way as an adversary against Balaam, and he was riding. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. In verse 23, now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her, the donkey, a female donkey, back onto the road. So here's where we're starting to get some. Balaam's a little upset because the donkey sees Jesus standing there and saying, with the sword, said, mm-mm, you're not going this way. Turn away. And the donkey's like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he turned away. And Balaam's sitting on the donkey's like, what are you doing? Get back on course. And he uses his staff and he, like, you know, swats the donkey. You know, it's like, oh, you know. Then the angel of the Lord stood, and so then he's like trying to get him going back toward where he wanted to go. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on the side and the wall on that side. So back in those days when they had vineyards, they'd have like tall walls, rock walls type stuff, because they didn't want people walking through and leaning over and picking the grapes and stuff. So they would have these higher walls, but it'd be a narrow path to get through. So as he's going through, the angel of the Lord is standing on one side. So the donkey's like, you know, going to one side, you know, trying to get away from it. And he crushes up, you know, his leg up into the wall there. Well, Balaam didn't like that. So like he's going to whack the donkey again. So as we read on here, it says in verse 25, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. I wondered if the donkey at that time was just sort of like, maybe, okay, you hit me once, I got a chance, I might just be able to, like, you know, make it hurt back to you a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what the donkey was thinking then. But here or there, Balaam, like, oh, whacks the donkey again. So then in verse 26, then the angel of the Lord went further. So this is twice now. But they're still pressing on. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. She just lay down. Balaam was on top there. So Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord, this is like, so three times he's beat his donkey here. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. This is where it's cool. And said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And what's even worse is, he speaks back. It's like, you know, I would be like, I'm not sure I would be able to speak. I'd be like, there's nothing, no mention about the two servants. You know, he's like, did you hear what I just heard? What does he do? No, he's talking right back as if it's like, okay. So Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, it means sort of mocked me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. He is so mad. He's so mad at this donkey. He wants to kill him. So the donkey says back, he says, so the donkey said to Balaam, and am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. So the donkey, we don't know how long the donkey's, you know, been owned by the Balaam, but the donkey obviously had been with him for some time to be able to say, have I ever done this to you before? Have I been a faithful donkey? You know, and what Balaam could say, no, you've been a good donkey up until now. But he's mad. He's just mad. He wants to get where he needs to go because money, money, money. He sees money, lots of money, lots of money. The wealth of this king. So he's like, he killed his donkey and get another one. But here's where it gets kind of even cooler. It says, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, listen to this last part of this verse. It says, Jesus saying this, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. Meaning let the donkey live. So the donkey, you know, the donkey after, if I was the donkey and the Lord said that, I would just be so tempted to say, you know, reach back and say, well, if I'd have known that, I would have just, I'd have let him take you out. Because I'm going to be safe and go about my ways. But the donkey was faithful to his master. So in verse 34, it says, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. You know, we don't have time to go through the rest. The next two chapters are really awesome chapters because it talks about the prophecies that Balaam is going to reveal to this king and to us, because we get what was recorded. And a lot of that has to do with the future Messiah, the king that's coming, which is just incredible. But what can we really glean out of this passage? You know, other than it's, okay, it's funny. It's like a horse talking. It's a donkey talking. But really, it's very applicable to all of us. And I'll just wrap it up really quick here. I came up with just a few here. There's a whole bunch in here. God used a donkey to speak. God is not limited. God is not limited. He can do anything. We already know that. He spoke the world into existence. Free will and divine sovereignty. Permissive will. I mean, that's just one example in that story that, as we all have, we have free will. And God allows us to do things, but His will be done. We have to know that. So we always want to like, okay, God, I'll pray in your will, whatever you want. But then, you know, it's just our human nature, but could you please maybe, you know, I'm hoping for this. God knows our heart. He knows all of us. He knows where we're at. He knows right where you're at and what you're going through. Some of us are going through some major, major stuff. You know, it's, when I always think about how, oh man, my life, you know, so much stuff's going on in my life. And I look at my boat and it's got a few holes. And then I talk to somebody else and you realize, holy mackerel, your boat has a whole lot of holes. And even some people they're not even in the boat. They're hanging on to the anchor. But we just have to keep our eyes and ears on Jesus because He will take care of you. If you're the one with the anchor going down, or you're in the boat that's got a few holes, we're all suffering in this world. But we all have to keep our eyes and ears on Jesus and let Him direct our paths. That's hard. I know it's hard for me, and I just stay in God's Word. We have to stay in God's Word all the time. Last few here. So there was a couple. I found this other one. Balaam is mentioned in the New Testament as a false prophet. If you guys get a chance to follow up on that, Peter talks about it in 2 Peter. Jude talks about Balaam. And then John references Balaam in Revelation. So those are awesome passages talking about what not to do. He's using Balaam as a reference, as an example, This is not what you want to do. Story of hope. I think it's a story of hope. God can turn difficult situations into good. God's enduring love. God intervenes. Balaam got caught up into idolatry, sexual immorality, and which ended up very bad for him. Because we will read later in the next chapters, chapter 5 or 25, where Balaam gets killed and lots of people, the Moabites, get massacred because of what Balaam did. Balaam, he couldn't get what he wanted to curse. God wouldn't let him curse the Israelites. So what he did, he came up with a different way. He conjured with the king Balak. He said, "Hey, here's a way of doing it. Get your ladies, your pretty beautiful women, and let them intermingle with the men of Israel. And they'll jump right in there, and that's how you capture them. Use that and then suck them in." And bad things happened because of that. And then that was the curse within, where they got discipline from God. And the last one was very prophetic prophecies in the next chapter, two chapters, 23 and 24. One of which is, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you guys look ahead in chapter 24, in verse 17, I will end on this one. It says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him." This is referring to the Messiah. "But not near." And this one is critical, this statement here. "A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." What he's talking about there, and that's a prophecy that Balaam is wanting to curse Israel, but out of his mouth is coming blessings. Because that's what God is forcing. Balaam thinks he's cursing when he's trying to say whatever curse he wants to on these people, but what comes out of his mouth is what God said is going to come out of his mouth, and he's blessing. And he's making a prophetic statement here that a star is coming. Who's the star? The star is going to be born. It's Jesus. And this is the only passage, the only scripture, verse in the entire Old Testament that talks about a star being, referencing Jesus being born. So it's pretty prophetic, coming from an evil, wicked prophet God used for something good. So let's close in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the, we would call it funny story, Lord, but it's an incredible story, and it has very much application for our lives right now. You want us to do the right thing. You want us to follow you, Lord. You give us free will, and you even allow us when we nag and we want to do our way and we want our things. And you'll finally say, okay, but Lord, we know that's not what we want, because that's the hard way. Help us, Lord. Help us all to just stay close to you. Seek you on anything and everything, and trust you. And if you say no, may that just be a blessing to us, to know that you're protecting us. It's not to hurt us, it's to help us. And I pray for salvation. I pray for anyone in this room that might not know you, Lord. If everyone in this room is a born-again believer, Lord, then I just pray that they will just grow closer to you as our days are getting shorter and our time to be with you is getting closer. And we love you and can't wait to be with you. In Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. All right.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer. Jesus overcomes the world. For Jesus overcomes the world.
Dan, I just wanted to say, when you were mentioning Mr. Ed, that's actually a spinoff from Francis the Talking Mule. Because they made movies in the 50s about this army mule he was talking.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Way before my time, though. Yeah. But, wow.
But they got that from the Word of God, from that.
Oh, that's
David.
Awesome. Huh.
That's where they got that from.
Hey, just a last passing comment. Just remember, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So we all have Jesus, so keep your eyes and ears on him. God bless you guys. Be safe until we can be together again. God bless.